We are remembering where we began last week in thinking of the Reformation in Hungary. We touched on the wonderful providence of God in using the Muslim Turks in order to help further the Reformation in Hungary. The Muslims were very often hard on the Roman Catholics in Hungary. They spent their time persecuting the Roman Catholics, so they didn't have a lot of time to persecute the Protestants. And why do you think the Muslims were hard on Roman Catholics? Because the Muslims hate idolatry, at least in some of its forms. And they went into the Roman Catholic meeting houses and they tore out the idols and the images, and they even burned and tore down some of their meeting houses. And even the great Muslim emperor, Suleiman, said that the Protestants must be left alone. He said, "These are the followers of the great prophet from Wittenberg." And he went on to say that that prophet from Wittenberg preaches the truth. Amazing. Not only did the true people of God increase in number because of the Turks, the greatest means for the prosperity of the church in Turkey was the Word of God being published in the Hungarian language so that all could read and learn the truth. It was in 1541 that the New Testament was completed in the Hungarian language by Johann Sylvester. This opened the floodgates. Even the priests of Rome could now also, with the Protestants, read the Hungarian New Testament. And many of the priests were gloriously saved and turned into mighty Protestants. Now this takes us to our text for this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That is speaking about this book. The Word of God, inscripturated. The Word of God, the Bible. It is living. It is abiding. It is the seed. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be destroyed. It will never rot or decay or pass away. Peter, by the Spirit, calls the Holy Scripture seed. His Master Jesus Christ did the same thing. You may remember, we read in Mark chapter 4 this morning, and the Savior says, "The sower soweth the Word." And what was the Word? It was the seed that was being scattered in that parable. Therefore, the good seed of the kingdom of grace is the holy Word of God. Now, when seed is sown, it's good to sow seed on the ground. But in order for that seed to grow, it has to wait on the blessing of God from heaven. My brother-in-law was saying he would like to sow some seed to make winter grazing for his cattle. But he was afraid to sow it because the rain has not come now for quite a few weeks. We've not had rain now. I mean, we had that drizzle that came. I guess there were some here on Saturday. Okay, I don't know if there's any. They're predicting some more. But anyway, the seed, when it's sown on the ground, must have moisture. It must have the rain. It must have the blessing from heaven in order to sprout and grow. This is exactly the case in the spiritual realm as well. The seed of God's Word will never sprout and grow in your heart without the power of grace and God the Holy Spirit coming down upon it. Now let's understand that. It's good for us to have the Word of God. We were speaking about Mark Miller, one of the prisoners. He was not there with us yesterday, but we were praying for him. Because Mark reads the Word of God. He wants out of prison. So he's trying to make a good show. He's reading the Word of God, and yet the Word of God has not germinated in his heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Blessed is he that readeth. Alright? It's good. It's good for you to hold the Word of God in your hands. It's good for you to read the Word of God. But understand, the Holy Spirit is likened unto water many times in the Scripture. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, the Lord says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, He says there. So the Holy Spirit is this wonderful water. The Lord sent His Almighty Spirit upon the Word of God in Hungary during the 1500s and caused the salvation of great multitudes suddenly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, not only do we have Jesus and Peter saying that the Word of God was sown as seed, but Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. There the Word was watered by the Spirit of God in Thessalonica. So here is a truth that every one of us must face. The question that you must ask yourself today is this: has this gospel come to me in power and in the Holy Ghost? It is true that I have the Word of God in my hand. It is true that I have read the Bible at one time or another, or maybe often I've read the Scriptures. But I tell you, I read the Scriptures for many years before the Spirit of God came to my heart with the Word in power. You may hold the Word of God in your hands, but in order to be genuinely saved, you must have that Word come to your heart in the power of the Holy Spirit that changes you, that transforms your life, and makes all things new. So I ask you, has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? That is a question you must face now. And if you will not face it now, then oh, what an awful eternity is awaiting. Well, that is the great reason for the Word of God. I mean, for the Reformation going forward in Hungary, is the Word of God was published just a few years after Luther had put his thesis. In 1541, there came the New Testament for the Hungarians of all walks of life to have it and read it. But even more, there were schools begun to teach them to read all over the country. Another reason for the sudden prosperity of the gospel in Hungary was the Protestant reformer Matthew de Vay. De Vay had been delivered from Roman Catholicism. And he was no longer a clergyman of Rome. De Vay got together with a wealthy nobleman in Hungary. The nobleman's name was Count Nádasdy. And the nobleman put forth the money to buy a printing press. And on that printing press, they printed tens of thousands of little books. Little books. Little things. This size. Small little books. And these tens of thousands of little books DeVay had written it, and it was to teach the children to read, and the adults, and at the same time it was teaching them the gospel. And the Lord blessed the book and saved multitudes of young children through it. You know, that's the same thing that happened in our country in early America. The parallels with the Hungarian Reformation and what the Lord has done and continues to do in His providence and His work of redemption in our country. There are very many parallels. Here's one of them. In early America, besides the Word of God, the most common school book for 200 years in the colonial period and the Christian era in our country was the New England Primer. The New England Primer taught American children to read, and with it they learned the gospel through the shorter catechism that was in the same little volume with the New England Primer. Isn't that glorious? So all over Hungary, there were little children with these books, learning their alphabet and learning the gospel with their alphabet and learning how to put the letters together into words. And they were learning the gospel. Well, another great thrust forward for the gospel was the publishing of the Word of God, not only the help of the Muslims, not only this little primer to teach them to read, but there was a conference held in the Hungarian city of Strasbourg. It was a royal conference called by King Ferdinand I. They were having a problem. The Roman Catholic bishops were very upset with this man, Matthew DeVay, who was spreading these little books all over the land. And the Hungarians were leaving the Church of Rome by scores daily. He was upset not only with DeVay, but he was upset with another man who was no longer a Roman Catholic. He was the mighty preacher Stephen Santai. Santai, like DeVay, had left Rome. And he was a very learned, zealous, and effective preacher of the gospel. As thousands of Hungarians left the Roman Catholic Church and turned to Christ, these Roman Catholic bishops were very upset. And they came to King Ferdinand and they told him that the true religion was dying in Hungary, meaning that great throngs were leaving it for the Scriptures. Well, King Ferdinand decided to do something. So he called for a debate at this conference in Strasbourg. And it was a debate between these very astute Roman Catholic bishops and Stephen Santai. It has a Z. S-Z. That's a very hard thing to pronounce. But Stephen Santai and these Roman Catholic bishops met in Strasbourg in 1538. And there was this debate. And several days this debate went on. And the bishops were greatly disappointed. Here are several reasons why they were disappointed. Number one, because the king had even allowed this debate. Because Santai was given this public forum at the debate to use as a means of spreading doctrine among more Hungarians. The second problem was, Santai was not only a very intelligent man, he was an excellent debater. And he made the Roman Catholic bishops look like they were very ignorant indeed. And King Ferdinand secretly believed the Augsburg Confession of Faith that the Lutherans and Stephen Santai held to. And Ferdinand was just trying to make it look like he was trying to defend the church at that point. Well, after the defeat of the Romanist at the conference, the Roman Catholic bishops went to King Ferdinand to complain that Santi was destroying true Christianity in Hungary. They said he calls the Mass an invention of the devil, and he teaches that all Christians are entitled to both the bread and the cup in the communion. And they said, for this reason, he should be burned. You must burn him. You're a Roman Catholic and you must be faithful to His Holiness in Rome. And you've got to burn him. Well, he said, I want to ask you something. So the king put some very brilliant, logical questions to these Roman Catholic bishops. And here are the words of Ferdinand I. Here's the first question. He said to them, is the Greek Orthodox Church a true church? They replied to him, yes, it is. Then, does the Greek Orthodox Church let the people have the bread and the cup? They said, yes. But they do not celebrate the Mass as we do. He asked them then, did not the Greek church fathers like John Chrysostom and Saint Cyril teach the same to the Greeks, that they were to have the cup and the bread? Yes, was the answer. Then I cannot burn an innocent man. The Roman Catholic bishop said, then we shall find other ways to rid ourselves of this wolf Santi that is devouring the flock. Well, the Lutherans and the other Reformed believers in Hungary, the Reformed brethren in Hungary means those who were followers of Calvin and Zwingli. They saw great progress in the work of Reformation, and it was especially by establishing schools. In every town, and through the cities, and in every village, they established a school. And in the schools, they taught the children, the young people, and even the adults the truth. They taught them not only reading, but they taught them the doctrine. And by Christian education, Hungary was won for Christ. The progress of the gospel continued, and many of the high-ranking Roman Catholic clergymen and nobles were converted by the true gospel to Christ. And those leaders of the Roman Catholic Church who came out, they then took the gold and the silver images of the Virgin and the Apostles and all these images, and they had them broken and beaten into coins. And they distributed the coins among the poor because they realized that those very images had been built by the money that had been extorted and taken falsely from the common people in order to pay for masses, to be said for their deceased loved ones. They told them that they had to do that if they would get them ever out of purgatory. That many masses had to be said. Well, the Protestants in Hungary were distinguished by their lives of purity. And not only distinguished themselves by holy living, there was the exercise of strong church discipline in order to maintain that purity. Even in those times among the Lutherans, as well as the Reformed, if a minister was suspected of heresy or of any impurity of life, inquiry was made. And if it could be proven that the charges against him were correct, then the minister was degraded or removed from his office and never allowed again to function as a minister. The Reformed churches in Hungary laid special emphasis on spiritual matters. They stressed the power of prayer, for they knew that Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Knox were great men of prayer, and that even the various leaders of the nations, the kings and queens, feared the prayers of these reformers. So the ministers in Hungary often gathered together for days of fasting and prayer. And they saw great things accomplished by the Lord through fasting and prayer. Let me share with you one great answer that they saw. On August the 19th, 1614. The Reformation had been going nearly 100 years. In Trentin County, Hungary, there was a woman known to be possessed of the devil. And she was prayed for by 6 ministers. But the demon was not cast out. So they said, we must do more. So on September the 12th of the same year, 18 ministers gathered together and they prayed with fasting for 3 days. And a woman came to the gathering for deliverance. And the Lord answered, she who had been pronounced incurable by doctors was brought out of the hand of Satan's power through the power of prayer. I tell you, this morning, the God who answered their prayer is our God. And the power of God is still the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The blood of shed to save sinners, and that precious blood still exists in all of its ancient power in heaven. It sprinkles the mercy seat, it speaks better things, and it saves to the uttermost all that will come to God. That incorruptible blood we have read of in our scripture reading here in 1 Peter. I noticed this wonderful relation in verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. We were not redeemed with that corruptible things of earth. We were redeemed rather by the blood of Christ. Verse 19. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So see, do you see that the blood of Christ is incorruptible blood? And look down at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, of incorruptible, by the Word of God. So it is the incorruptible blood working together with the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that saves our souls. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I ask you, has faith come to you through the Word of God? Faith, like rain upon seed, is a gift that comes down from heaven by the Holy Spirit, bringing forth real life in the heart. Have you received this life? This is real, spiritual and eternal life. Without it, you're lost. Without it, you're miserable. Without it, you are undone for eternity. God granted this sovereign gift to Hungarians by the millions. You're privileged to hear about what God did in Hungary. Yet you can hear that and still perish eternally. What a sad thing to hear about God's work in other places and in other people, and even to sit among those who have been redeemed and yet not know it yourself by personal experience. It's high time to awake out of your spiritual stupor and death. It is time to flee to Christ today. To beg Him to save you from your sins. If you ask Him, if you seek Him, He will hear you. You will be found. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I trust that the Lord will give grace to any outside of Christ in this meeting today to ask, to seek, and to knock. Let us pray together. O Lord, we do trust that Thou wilt bless the means which Thou hast used through the centuries. We praise Thee that this century is not without Thy blessing upon the means. We thank Thee for blessing many of us in the last century with the truth of salvation by an incorruptible seed of the Word of God, by the incorruptible blood of Jesus applied to our case. Please apply it to others, even this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.